Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 10, Departure of Lord Krishna for Dwarka, Text 17. Sitata Patram Jagraha Mukta Dhamma Vibhushitam Ratna Dandam Gudakesha Priya Priyatamasya Ha Sitata Patram Jagraha Mukta Dhamma Vibhushitam Ratna Danda Gudakesha Priya Priya Tamasyaha Sitata Patram Jagraha Mukta Dhamma Vibhushita Ratna Dandam Gudakesha Priya Priya Tamasyaha Sitata Patram Jagraha Mukta Dhamma Vibhushita Ratna Dandam Gudakesha Priya Priya Tamasyaha Patram Jagraha Vibhushitam Ratna Dandam Gudakesha Priya Tamasya Sita Patram Jagraha Mukta Dhamma Vibhushitam Ratna Bandham Gudakesha Vasyaha Sitapta Patram Jagraha Mukta Dhamma Vibhushitam Pranadandam Gurakesha Amina Pramasiha Adapasa Gauraha Amina Dandam Gudakesha Pratyatamasaha 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 Sita Patram Jagraha Vibhushitam Dandam Gudakesha Priya Priya Tamasyaha Vaishnavis. Uktadama vibhushitam pranadandam gudakesha yapriya tamasyaha tatpachamaha uktadama vibhushitam Pranadandam Grakesha Tatya Tamasya Sitata Patram Jagaha Uktadama Vibhushitam Pranadandam Grakesha Tatya Tamasya Sita Atapatram, soothing umbrella, Jagraha, took up, Muktadama, decorated with laces and pearls, Vibhushitam, embroidered, Ratnadandam, with a handle of jewels. Gudakeshaha, Arjuna, the expert warrior, or one who has conquered sleep. Priyaha, most beloved. Priyatamasya, of the most beloved. Ha, so he did. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. At that time, Arjuna, the great warrior and conqueror of sleep, who is the intimate friend of the most beloved Supreme Lord, took up an umbrella which had a handle of jewels and was embroidered with lace and pearls. Purport. Gold, jewels, pearls, and valuable stones were used in the luxurious royal ceremonies. They are all nature's gifts and are produced by the hills, oceans, etc., by the order of the Lord. When man does not waste his valuable time in producing unwanted things, in the name of necessities, by so-called development of industrial enterprises, they are now using pots of gutta percha instead of metals like gold, silver, brass, and copper. They are using margarine instead of purified butter, and one-fourth of the city population has no shelter. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So here and several other places in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, Arjuna is addressed as Guda Kesha, which means conqueror of sleep. In one of his purports in the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada explains Gudaka means sleep, Isha means the controller or conqueror. So Arjuna had conquered sleep. Another meaning of sleep is the sleep of ignorance. The conditioned souls within the material world are asleep to their real identities as eternal servants of Krishna, Jivara Srupahoy Krishnera Nitya Das, Lord Chaitanya says. That's our original identity. And in that original identity, we have a Swarupa, an original form, a spiritual form, a spiritual body with spiritual senses in which we can serve Krishna eternally in his eternal pastimes. But now we're asleep in the sense that we've forgotten our relationship with Krishna. We've forgotten our original spiritual identity. So many times when Arjuna is addressed as Gudakesha, Srila Prabhupada explains that this means not only has he conquered sleep in the ordinary sense, but he's also awakened to spiritual knowledge, to transcendence, and therefore Krishna is speaking this higher knowledge to him because he's in a position where he can understand and appreciate it. So we're also advised to conquer over sleep and its two forms, you know, the normal kind of sleeping we're supposed to minimize, and we're supposed to be awake from the sleeping in the lap of the witch called Maya. So once Srila Prabhupada was discussing different Western philosophers with his disciple Hayagriva, and Hayagriva said to him, there's this German philosopher named Schopenhauer, and Schopenhauer says that the lower animals, the duller animals, they don't sleep very much, and that the more intelligent animals, the people with the more active minds and intelligences, they sleep more. And, you know, he said, like fish, they don't sleep, but human beings, you know, they sleep a lot. Srila Prabhupada said, no, the most intelligent human beings, like the six Goswamis, they were sleeping only 2 hours a day. And as far as the fish go, I did a little research, and scientists say that fish do sleep, but it's kind of hard to tell because they don't have eyelids and they sleep with their eyes open. I can do that. Many of us can't. Actually, it seems they go into a state of suspended animation where their eyes are open, but their metabolism shuts down and they stop moving, and they actually sleep for a long time. So the point, you know, Srila Prabhupada was making is, no, the most intelligent, the most advanced types of personalities, they don't sleep very much. They minimize their activities of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And they concentrate on putting most of their energy into serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, in different ways. So, yeah, that's one point. Another point, Srila Prabhupada mentions, now they are using pots of gutta percha, So this gutta percha is a sap that comes from a tree that grows in Southeast Asia, mostly in countries like Malaysia. And, you know, if you take this sap and you boil it, it turns into a kind of latex, a natural latex or plastic, kind of like they used to get rubber from rubber trees. So it's a natural product, but, you know, it's a natural kind of plastic, you know, that different utensils can be made of, and it's considered to be not so valuable. And Srila Prabhupada is indicating that in Vedic times, people used utensils, pots, and other things made of metals like gold, silver, brass and copper, and with jewels, like in this verse, it's being described how Arjuna had picked up this umbrella which had a handle of jewels and was embroidered with lace and pearls. So in Vedic culture, because people were performing sacrifice, you know, they weren't concentrating on building so many factories to produce so many useless things. Nature was providing everything they needed, and they had great opulence. And, you know, there are some specific examples of that. Yudhisthira, after the battle of Kurukshetra, you know, wanted to perform some horse sacrifices, you know, because he thought, so many people have died so that I can be the king, I should perform some sacrifice. So one particular sacrifice was the Ashvamedha, or horse sacrifice. And these Vedic sacrifices required a great deal of wealth. So there wasn't very much wealth in the kingdom at that time after the big war. So he sent his brothers, Arjuna and the other Pandavas, his brothers, out to find wealth. And Krishna advised the Pandavas to go search for the gold objects that had been left by an ancient king in the Himalayan mountains. This king was named Maruta. And he's described in the ninth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, he's in the line coming from Vaivasvata Manu. You know, there were different lines of kings that come from Manu, principally the solar dynasty and the lunar dynasty. So he was in the line that came from Ikshvaku, who was a son of Vaivasvata Manu. And Ikshvaku was the head of the solar dynasty. Later, Lord Ramachandra appeared in that dynasty. But King Maruta was even before that. He was before the time of Lord Ram. So it's many millions of years ago, according to the history that's given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So he performed one sacrifice that greatly pleased Lord Shiva. So he was given a mountain made of gold. And Srila Prabhupada says, modern adventurers may go into the Himalayas to try to find it. So he had this resource of this mountain of gold. So he was able to get a lot of gold and make a lot of utensils made of gold. And then he performed other sacrifices. And at these sacrifices, the altars and all the utensils, for performing the sacrifice were made of gold. And then he also gave these gold objects in charity to the brahmanas who participated in the sacrifices. That was the custom. The Brahmins had to be given some gifts. So it's stated that these sacrifices, which were performed in the region of the Himalayan mountains, were so opulent that the sacrificial implements made of gold were just left heaped there. And the Brahmins were given so many golden utensils and objects that they couldn't take them all, so they just left them there. And nobody bothered those things. They were just treated as useless. Everybody was so satisfied that even though those heaps of gold utensils and objects were just lying there, they just remained there for millions of years, became covered over, lost. But Krishna revealed to the Pandavas the location of these golden objects. So they went there and they recovered them, and that was the wealth that was used to carry out the sacrifices performed by King Yudhisthira. So that's an example of how in the Vedic times, as Srila Prabhupada mentions, they were using objects made not of gutta percha. Of course, now we don't even have gutta percha. We have all kinds of plastic and paper and foam, that we use as implements. So in Vedic times, when there were pious kings ruling, they had so much wealth. And Srila Prabhupada mentions, and today they're using margarine instead of purified butter. There was an incident that's described in the Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita where Srila Prabhupada was conducting a wedding ceremony in San Francisco in 1967 for his disciples, Yamuna Devi and Guru Das. And, Srila Prabhupada had asked for some ghee to be prepared to use in the fire sacrifice, but the devotees thought the butter is too expensive. We'll use margarine. So they melted some margarine, and Srila Prabhupada was trying to conduct the fire sacrifice. You dip some piece of wood in the ghee, supposedly, and then you put it in the fire, and it burns very nicely. But he took a piece of wood, put it into the pot with the melted margarine in it, held it to the fire, just goes out. So he took another piece of wood, put it in the margarine, tried to get the fire going a little bit more. The piece of wood wouldn't light. Did it four or five times. Finally got it started. And he said, this marriage is going to have a very slow start. And it said in the Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita that Yamuna started crying. So one of the points that's made here is that actually human society should live by nature's gifts. That's more natural. Of course, we know that. Very few of us are prepared to do it. But fortunately, there are some of Srila Prabhupada's disciples who take seriously these kinds of instructions and are trying to establish communities based on such principles of living on nature's gifts. Ishavasyam idam sarvam yat kinchaja katam jagat tena chak tena bunjita magrita kasya svidana. The whole universe, everything within it, is actually the property of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he's made an arrangement whereby everyone can be satisfied by nature's gifts. But the proper mentality is to understand, yes, everything is God's property. God is supplying whatever we need, and we should just take what we need, what we can get from the natural gifts, take our fair share, and don't become greedy and exploitative, and then everything will be fine. But you know, we don't have that mentality. The conditioned souls in this material world, they think it's our property. They think in terms of I and mine under the influence of false ego, and they think that the purpose of human life is to dominate, control, and exploit the resources of material nature to the maximum extent possible, and they organize themselves into competing groups to do that, and therefore there's so much environmental destruction, so much conflict in the world on all different levels. So one of Srila Prabhupada's stated purposes in founding the International Society for Krishna Consciousness was to help people understand how to live a more simple and natural life. Of course, everything can be engaged in Krishna's service. The products of the industrial enterprises, they can be engaged in Krishna's service. So we're meant to do that. You know, that's something that we do in our International Society for Krishna Consciousness. But some of the members are also trying to follow the instructions to live in a more simple and natural way. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Srila Prabhupada, oops, one, yes.
You mentioned earlier between human society, they're taking all nature's gifts and abusing them and having competition between them. In human society, you say they take nature's gifts and they abuse Krishna's supplies, and have competition within each other. Since we are aware of these are Krishna's supplies and gifts and we appreciate them, and is there transcendental competition between devotees by any chance?
Yes, there's transcendental competition among the devotees to produce and distribute as many books as possible in as many languages as possible. So we see there's some competition to do that. But it's transcendental competition. We don't see that there are wars breaking out and devotees killing each other in that competition. So it's competition to see who can please Srila Prabhupada, Krishna's representative, Lord Krishna, Lord Chaitanya. In this age, I was mentioning sacrifice, but in this age, it's stated that Kalautadhari Kirtanat, in the age of Kali, the sacrifice is the performance of the Sankirtan Yajna, Yajyai Sankirtana Prayar Yajanti Hi Sumedha Saha. So yes, there can be competition in that performance of the Sankirtan Yajna, but that's transcendental and everyone becomes happy by it. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Mm-hmm.